What they learn as they listen through the new J is about life with Christ. And just like what we heard during the offertory, about true life with Christ. I remember one time I was talking to somebody who got a flat on the way to church. And they said, you know, why would the Lord give me a flat on the way to church? I was doing something for him. I was going to church. I was going to serve him. And yet he gave me a flat. That just proves that people think that what we do is pleasing to God. Or worse, we have to do something good in order to be pleasing to God. And what the new J plays through the music and uses through the spoken word is the same thing that you're teaching here, is that the only way that we can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, oh, the only way we can go to heaven is by believing in a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he did everything for us. I came from a background where I always knew God existed, but I feared God. He was a big judge who was always looking after me, and he was going to do bad things to me if I did bad things. But God's word shows us so much more about God. It shows us that he indeed wants to give us abundant life. As a matter of fact, the title of our sermon this morning is The Truly Full Christian Life. The truly full Christian life. So just like the example before, we don't get good things because we do good things. God is not an investment scheme. How many times do we turn on the TV, or how many times do we hear on the radio, or how many times do we even visit other churches where we hear people say, if you give, God will give more. Or if you really want to be blessed, give and God will bless you more. That's treating God like an investment scheme. And he's not. God wants us to have an abundant life. And that life is in Jesus Christ alone. Let's turn to John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10. I love teaching Bible studies to people who have just started to read God's word. And you tell them to turn to John, and all of a sudden they turn to the end of their Bible for 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We're going to the Gospel of John this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. And I would like to read verses 1 through 7 just as an introduction to this passage. We're going to spend more time on the later verses. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger, they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they don't know the voice of the strangers. Verse 6. This figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Let's stop for just a second. In the olden days, in New Testament times, even in Old Testament times, when a shepherd guarded sheep, he did it in two different ways. One way that he guarded sheep was in the pasture. And when it came time for the night, he would build, the first few days that he was out in that field, he would build a corral of thorny brush. And it wouldn't have a gate. It would just kind of be circular. And so you couldn't go in or out. Thieves or wolves could not come in because of the way it was built. And the sheep couldn't go out because at night, the shepherd would lay in front of the opening. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. That's why this passage says, I am the door. The shepherd was literally the door that left the sheep in and out. Another way that they watched sheep was if they had pastures close to town, at night everybody would bring their sheep back into town, and there would be one common shepherd for all the sheep, and they would all stay in one corral. In the morning, when it came time to graze, the different shepherds would come out and they would go to the corral and all the sheep were mingled, but that shepherd would call out his sheep. And as that shepherd walked away, then the sheep followed him. His sheep followed him because they knew the voice of the shepherd. Let's go to verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Let's skip verse 8 for just a second and go down to verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Our first point this morning is, I am the gate. Jesus said he is the door. He is the gate. This is more than giving permission to come in and out. It also talks about leadership because he knows when he is going to lead them in and out. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament term for I am the gate or I am the door or I am the way, the Old Testament terms talks about military escapades where the leader would go out and lead the nation of Israel or other nations into war. So the shepherd is juxtaposed to the thief or the robbers, which he refers to in verse 8. Verse 8 says, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Interesting, because in the passages before this, we're talking about Moses. And Jesus says, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers." So we know for a fact he is not talking about Moses, because in Scripture, Moses is always referred to prophetically. And he's always a good example. He wasn't perfect, but he was always a good example. So the thieves and the robbers, of course, were the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the day. But in this day and age, we have thieves and robbers as well. We have people who love to call themselves Christians and yet don't want to live different from the world in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, some people are proud of the fact that they can call themselves Christian and yet not even be noticed as a Christian by the world. Because maybe they wear those clothes, or maybe they sing those songs, or maybe they have that lifestyle. And they're proud of the fact that they can be Christian and yet not be noticed as being different from the world. Those are thieves and robbers. Jesus said, "If you follow me, I will give you everything you want." We see this in Scripture. Our second point this morning is, I came to give full life. And that's in verse 10. Let's read verse 10. As a matter of fact, may as well back up and read verse 9 as well. Verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." This is abundant life. This is why Jesus came, to give us abundant life. You see, I don't know if some of y'all have struggled with this, but when we try and make our lives biblical, and yet we try and make ourselves pleasing to the world, there's all this entanglement and all these struggles. And we want what the world has to offer us, and we try and seek those things, whether it be unhealthy friendships, whether it be finances. We try and seek those things. And as a Christian, we think, well, God should be giving me these things because I'm going to church on Sunday. I even read my Bible during the week. Why isn't God giving me these things? The Bible says he came to give us abundant life. Why am I not getting all these things? Well, of course, we know that other passages of Scripture make it clear that when we want what he wants, we will always get what we want. The goal is to ask according to his will. We see that in 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. When we ask according to his will, that's when God will give us the abundant life. And it really will be the abundant life. It will be a life overflowing with joy. It will be a life of peace. It doesn't mean that we'll never have any troubles, but it does mean that we will have a life that is honoring to him. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good and perfect gift is from above. A couple of years ago in the Philippines, and this could happen in the States as well, a motorcycle had fallen in the middle of the road on a Sunday morning. And the pastor said, and the pastor's wife said, why would this happen? We're on our way to church. Why would this happen? We're on our way to church. In other words, if we're on our way to church, then everything should be good. But that's not how life works. That's not how God works. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Life abundant. You know, when we think about Psalm chapter 23, lie down in green pastures, beside quiet waters. Or the phrase, preparing a table in the presence of my enemies. That has an interesting context in the Philippines because our city, Cagayan de Oro, really hard to say, not after you've been there for 25 years, interestingly enough. Only took me about five. Cagayan de Oro means the city of golden friendship. And when there were wars going on between tribes in the mountain, they would come down to Cagayan to get their food and supplies. And they would literally eat together. And they would get their supplies and they'd go back up and they would fight against each other. And the southern end of the island, the same thing happened when the Burnhams were kidnapped, as a matter of fact. The military and the rebels would go to General Santos at Davao, and they would get their supplies. Sometimes they would even exchange funds. That's why when the Burnhams raised their ransom, only part of it went to the rebels because the other part went to the military so that they could keep fighting. The presence in the eating at a table of my enemies is supposed to mean that there is peace and there is no war. See what man can do to Scripture, how it can turn, how mankind can switch around Scripture. Life is full, life is complete when we hear the voice of our Savior. Let's look at a few different verses that say that. First of all, the second half of verse 3, chapter 10, the second half of verse 3, it says, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 5, the second half. Verse 5, a stranger may simply say they follow, but will not, he will cause they do not know the voice of strangers. So if you don't know the voice of strangers, it means you do know the voice of the Savior. And finally, let's skip out to verse 16, verse 16b. 16b, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Saw a great illustration. There's a story about a city boy who was out in the country with his friend. And while they're out in the country, just kind of sitting there quietly, the city boy, of course, that would be me, you know, just hears nothing, kind of bored, nothing going on. And the country person says, do you hear that cricket? And it's like, no, I don't hear a thing. Well, some time passed and they were back in the city. And as they were walking down the street, all of a sudden there was a cling, 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 cling. Somebody had dropped a dime. And that city boy knew that sound. He went down, picked up the dime, you know. We hear what we want to hear. In the quiet stillness of nature, we can hear the voice of the cricket. Sometimes in the Philippines, there's these beetles. And I tell you, you don't have to try and listen to them. You can hear them anywhere, even in the city. But you hear the voice of the one that you want to hear. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to hear God's voice. and we can hear God's voice in church on Sunday morning. That's why on the station, every Monday on the station, we say, what did you learn in church yesterday? Put it into practice. On Tuesday, we say, does your church have a Wednesday evening prayer meeting? Start planning now to go. On Wednesday evening, go to your midweek Bible study. On Thursday, we say, what did you pray about last night? Pray about it again. On Friday, we say, what did you learn? Or how can you bless the church on Friday? On Saturday, maybe there's some cleaning in the Philippines, even if you have an enclosed thing. You got to dust the pews every week. It's just a lot of soot and everything in the city. Sunday, go to church. We can hear God's word, God's voice in church. We could also hear it as we read God's word. Our second point was, I came to give full life. Finally, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Let's read verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. First of all, he says, the. Jesus is the one and only good shepherd. A verse that I referred to a few times already, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's never through good works. We can only go through the Father through the saving faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And it's different than the thieves and the robbers. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He lays down his life out in the pasture. He lays down his life to bring protection. In the city, he calls us out. So I am the good shepherd. And finally, he says, Jesus said, I am the shepherd, calling his own by name. The question is, do we know that? Do we personally know that Jesus is the good shepherd? If we know that, have we come to the place where we are convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that we have to share that story with other people? And some people will look at me and they say, well, you obviously have the gift of gab, so no problem for you. But what if I'm a quiet person? And what if I don't know all the right verses? What am I going to say? It can be as easy as going to the workplace tomorrow morning and say, wow, was I ever blessed by the music in church yesterday? Wasn't that great music? Thank you, Pastor. That was just great. I just enjoy that so very, very much. I enjoy all the different opportunities we have for worship in the church. There are so many different ways that we can express ourselves. I could say, you know what I learned in Sunday school at church? We don't have to have a master of divinity before we can share Christ. I have brothers and sisters who have yet come to saving faith in Christ. And it's harder with family. I know. Because our family really knows us. Not only did they know us before we were Christians, but they still know us afterwards. And sometimes it's hard to share Christ, but we can always take an opportunity. Sometimes we have to make those opportunities to talk about God. It can be as easy as listening to Christian radio. We're so blessed in the States to have so many different radio stations, some that just preach all day, some that have this kind of music, some that have the other kind of music. And we can just tell a friend, wow, hey, have you ever tried listening to such and such a station? Have you ever tried listening? Wow, it's really, you know, sometimes the other stations are dragging me down. Yeah, I like to listen to talk radio for an hour or so a day, but, you know, wow, after a while, it's just kind of dragging. This station really picks you up. Just try listening to it, you know. Or inviting somebody to church. We think that we might be embarrassed of our sinful friends, that we might not be able to invite them to church because they might not wear the right thing. Or, you know, they might have to step outside. My good friend who never could give up smoking, he says, I have to go get some air. It's so easy to invite people to church. And that's another way that God might be using us in the lives of others, that they might hear the voice of the Good Shepherd.